We pack a lot into the month of December. Tree lightings and choir cantatas and open houses and collections for Angel Tree Mission and the Ghana Orphanage and Christmas caroling to shut-ins. And then there's the shopping and the wrapping and the card mailing and the cook baking and the time hosting family and friends, which is why most of us are exhausted by the time we get to January. But Christmas isn't over. Right? Christmas isn't over. Our nativity, we still have the nativity. It's not complete. There were still visitors to come, and their journey took longer than 1 month. These learned men, these wise men, traveled long and far for a glimpse of the Christ child. Our scripture this Epiphany Sunday comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I invite you to take out your own Bibles or the Bibles that are in the pew racks in front of you. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And since it is the Gospel of our Lord, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for its reading. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may go and pay him homage.' And when they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Several weeks ago, just as Advent was beginning, I shared the story of Papa Panoff's special Christmas. Actually, Holly was here, and then she went back to her church, and she shared it there, and now she's here again today, so there you go. Papa Panoff's Special Christmas Day is actually a book that's written by Leo Tolstoy. It tells the story of a cobbler who, and the visits that he receives from Christ in the form of unexpected visitors from his little town. Many years ago, I was a director of music at the Cranford United Methodist Church, and I helped the children of Cranford retell this story, in a musical form. And at that point, my son Sean was age 9, and he played the part of young Papa Panoff. And early in the play, there's this scene between young Panoff and a visiting priest. And young Panoff has lost everything. He's lost his wife died, his young boys died, and ultimately he ends up losing his faith in God. Now, as a 9-year-old, Sean had no idea what loss looked like. Like, he didn't understand what it would mean to play an older person who's grieving. And so he was having a hard time with this one scene when the priest comes and he's talking about his sadness. So on opening night, in the middle of this somber scene, an unexpected visitor showed up. And it came as a deep bellied laugh. Here they were, Sean and the priest, trying really hard to be sad and serious, and out in the audience there came this very loud laugh. Now, you might think that this would have thrown them off. It would have caused them to forget their lines, because they were 9-year-olds, forget their lines and start giggling in the middle of it. But that is not what happened. That laugh that he heard, it almost allowed him to focus even more on his lines, even more on the real message of this story, which was unexpected visitors. The word epiphany means a sudden insight into the meaning of something, which begins from some simple, commonplace occurrence. So epiphany means all of a sudden you understand something more deeply out of a simple, commonplace, everyday activity. So it's not huge things, it's just the simple things that all of a sudden you have an epiphany and you understand something more deeply. Now, I'm not sure that I would call wise men showing up at your house with expensive gifts simple, commonplace occurrences. But perhaps epiphany had less to do with the wise men showing up and more to do with the child that they found. Jesus was a toddler at the time that the wise men got there, probably 1.5, 2 years old. Now, if you've ever had a 1.5 or 2-year-old, you would know that their favorite words are no and mine. Yes, no and mine. And the favorite things that a 2-year-old toddler likes to do is cuddling with mom, eating, climbing, and, oh yes, saying no and mine. Simple, commonplace events. And this is probably what the wise men found when they entered. I know we want to think that Jesus never said those things. And perhaps Jesus didn't. But Jesus was a toddler. At some point, Jesus was a toddler. And this is when the wise men entered. This is what they saw. Simple, commonplace events with a young toddler and his mother and father. And this simple, commonplace event changed them. What they came in search of was not what they found. There was no royal throne, just a young family, a child with his mother, God willing to enter into the ordinary parts of our world and our lives. This became the moment of epiphany, a sudden insight into a deeper meaning, and they bowed down and they worshiped God. Coming into this simple, commonplace event, they realized something so much deeper about who God is. Our scripture this morning ends with these words, and having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their country by a different road, by another road. Now, When we look at this scripture, we often think, well, they probably went a different way because they didn't want to see Herod. They were afraid. So fear made them leave and go by a different road. But I'm gonna offer up something different today. Because I think the reason they left by a different road was because they had been changed by what they experienced. Something changed them. And they couldn't remain the same. They couldn't go back to where they were. They couldn't take that same exact path back because their lives had been changed. Now, it's one thing to encounter Christ, to see glimpses of Christ in our midst, but it's a very different thing to allow those glimpses to really change us. Mike Slaughter, in his book, Christmas Is Not Your Birthday, reminds us that belief is simple, but changing the course of our lives, repenting and changing our life and our attitudes and our practices, that is a much harder commitment. It is one thing to say you believe, but it is a much different thing to live a life of faith. I recently read the story of Larry Walters, a 33-year-old man who decided he wanted to see his neighborhood from a new perspective. And so he went down to the local Army surplus store one morning and he bought 42 weather balloons. I don't even know what a weather balloon looks like, but I'm assuming it's pretty big. So he bought 42 weather balloons, and that afternoon he strapped himself into a lawn chair. And then his friends tied these 42 now helium-filled balloons to the chair. And he took along with him a six-pack of beer, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and a BB gun, because he figured he could shoot the balloons one at a time when he was ready to land. So Walters, who assumed the balloons would lift him about 100 feet in the air, was caught off guard when the chair soared to about 16,000 feet into the sky, smack into the middle of the air traffic pattern in the Los Angeles International Airport. And he had just begun shooting the balloons when he lost grip on the pellet gun and it dropped from his hands. And he was airborne for about 2 hours, and soon after he was safely grounded and sighted by the police, reporters asked him 3 questions. Were you scared? Yes. Would you do it again? No. Why did you do it? That was the 3rd question. Because, he said, I wanted to see something different. You can't just sit there. And I think it was like this for the wise men. Well, maybe not exactly like this. But with each new insight, each new glimpse of God's presence, like the wise men and Larry Walters, we have to realize it's time to see something different. We can't keep walking the same path if we really are going to be transformed. So whether it's a different path or a different perspective or a different experience, we can't just keep sitting there. Something has to change. What is it that they say? In the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting something different to happen. In this new time of New Year's resolutions, I'm wondering, we make the resolutions, but are we ready to really change our lives and trust that God's got amazing paths for us? Last Sunday, we talked about shining Christ's light, and we even sang This Little Light of Mine. We had a little drum going. But I want to know, what do you think that looks like in this new year? In medieval times, and we have this in our house too, I don't know how many people take us up on it, but in medieval times they would put candles in the windows of their houses. And the candles were a way to welcome the Christ child. And welcome, it basically was a way of saying, you can come into our house. We will feed you and offer you warmth and hospitality. And this was Christ showing up, almost like in the story of Papa Panoff. And the person, Christ might appear as someone dressed in the rags of a beggar, someone staying at our men's shelter. Or he might come as a poor and lonely child. Or maybe he would come in the form of a person with disabilities or a homeless wanderer on the street. So it became customary for devout Christians to welcome into their home anyone who knocked on their doors on Christmas Eve. And to turn away anyone would mean that they had turned away the Christ child. So this year, where will you welcome Christ? Will you be able to see him? But in order to see him, we may need to get out of our seats. And that doesn't mean we need to strap the balloons. But we may need to travel a different way. We may need to see a new perspective, which might mean we sit down with somebody who doesn't believe what we believe and hear their story. Like the wise men, we may need to travel a different road. Epiphany, a simple, commonplace occurrence that leads to a deeper meaning and insight. So I left you at the beginning with a story that I didn't finish. That deep-bellied laugh, I know you were probably wondering what that was, that deep-bellied laugh that happened in the midst of Sean's emotional scene, it came from my nephew, Evan. Evan is now 16 years old, but he was only 6 when he came to the show that night. Evan has the sweetest smile and the most joyful laugh that you will ever hear. Evan was diagnosed with autism at age 3. At age 2, Evan did not say no or mine. Evan has never said mama or papa, but his smile speaks. His laughter speaks. And so when Sean heard that laugh that night, that unexpected visitor, in the midst of a serious scene, we knew that Christ had come. No one shushed Evan or asked my sister or brother to take him out. And Sean knew that laugh. He knew his cousin was there to see him. A simple laugh, a simple, commonplace occurrence, an unexpected visitor, a reminder that God continues to show up. So where will God show up in your journeys this year? What unexpected visitor might come into your lives? But it may require us to move. We cannot stay where we are. Oh, that just reminded me. I was watching this morning. There was a video about phone usage, and this gentleman was telling a story about how often we spend like this out in the world, right? We miss everything around us, and I'm going to tell you, I do it too. But what if this week, every once in a while, we put our phones down and looked around? And perhaps we might see something different. Perhaps Christ might show up in ways we can't even begin to imagine. And maybe that way we will experience the unexpected epiphany and see a deeper meaning into Christ's presence in our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you show up in our lives so many times, but Lord, we are too often walking the same paths, keeping our eyes cast down, failing to see your presence in each new day. And so we ask you, Lord, help us to look up in this new year. Help us, Lord, to take new paths, to push ourselves to see you in new ways. We ask all of this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.